Dive deep with us into the trenches of professional sports. From the electric charge of the hardwood to icy battles, the strategic plays, and to the global passion, we cover it all where no sport is left behind.
Join your hosts, Justin Williams, and myself, Nee Wallace Bruce, as we break down game strategies, dissect play performances, and give you the insider scoop on what's happening both on and off the field of play. We are the Pro Sports Podcasters. Make sure you subscribe and leave a review.
Hello and welcome back to the Pro Sports Podcasters, PSP, brought to you by PSP Media. I'm your co-host, Mr. Nee Wallace Bruce. For Justin Williams in the background, he is behind the glass, making this sound all sweet and spice and very nice. And we have a special guest today, coming to us from the world of bare-knuckle fighting. We have had guests on from the BKFC competition in North America, but this guest is one with a difference. You're going to be excited for this. You're going to definitely learn a lot. So let's bring him in. It is the Head Knocker. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking.
Now, I'm going to ask. Every fighter has a story behind the nickname, so yours is reasonably self-explanatory, but just in case, how did you come up with the Head Knocker?
So it's a short story. So short story shorter, there's the father figure of my life, and one day he just looked down at my hands and he made a comment. And he said something to the effect of, with those head knockers, and it just made me kind of chuckle. And when the time came where I wanted to refer to myself, that just became the pseudonym that I chose.
Nice. And head knocker by name, head knocker by nature, that's obviously the objective in a sport like bare knuckle fighting. Was that always something you wanted to be a part of? Have you always been a fighter, or is this something that you've fallen into over time?
So it was definitely a progression, but it was also, in a sense, a long time coming. Just starting back from talking about my hands being referred to as head knockers, I spent a lot of time conditioning my hands with the various methods, to the point where my hands do have somewhat of an appearance in the size and coloration of my knuckles that caused that remark. But I started early on, about 6 years old, my dad had got me into Aikido. And I would say that's where my journey started.
That's different. I believe that's the first time we've had someone on the show who has an Aikido background. If you don't mind, just for our listeners, tell us a little bit about that and the transition that took place going from that form of martial arts into this form of pugilism that is the BKFC.
Definitely. So it was an interesting origin. My sensei was a lady, and that was kind of different, a different experience. And I was very grateful to have her as a teacher. I looked her up on YouTube not too long ago, and she's done quite some amazing things for herself. So I started off with Aikido. I was one of those kids who was real wild, ADHD, running around, and my dad needed to get me into something, so he put me into Aikido. He was also in Aikido for quite some time. And he had some opportunity to get some instruction from, I think it was like a second generation student of the founder. So he went ahead and kind of kept me close with the group that he had trained with, and one of his previous classmates who became my sensei at her own dojo. But so I did that for some years, and over time I kind of, you know, got older, and I got to a point where I think, like a lot of kids, I was attracted to flashy things, and Aikido just didn't have the kicks for me that I was looking for, you know, literally. So my dad took me around one time to different parts of San Francisco and different areas, you know, Chinatown, Koreatown. I got to look at different schools, Kung Fu schools, Kuksu Wong schools, you know, look at different disciplines. But ultimately, I kind of just gravitated on my own to studying just various, various, you know what I'm saying, different things. Ultimately, what I decided I wanted to learn was Wing Chun. And when I had the opportunity, I started to learn from my sifu, who was actually a second generation student of Yip Man. So that was a great opportunity, and you know, it had kicks in it. It had punches, and I learned a lot from those experiences with Wing Chun. During that time, I would say after I'd been in Wing Chun for a lot of years, I ended up being in a lot of street fights, just a lot of fighting in general. And I had an opportunity to kind of see what that Wing Chun was like, so to speak. You know, and so that's kind of, you know, where my martial arts background lies as far as like Aikido and Wing Chun. And so I've just been training Wing Chun over the years as a practitioner. And I started watching BKFC, and MMA just wasn't something that I had an interest in. When I saw the fights and I looked at the rules and I saw some of the champions and I watched some of the matches, it just really, really just sparked a passion in me. And I felt that this was a great outlet, a great opportunity for me to learn a lot about myself and just to undertake a journey that would allow me to just meet awesome people and just learn so much great knowledge along the way. And this journey with the bare knuckles started, I want to say, like August, September of last year.
Wow. So it's still quite fresh. That's...
Yes.
Got to give you kudos for that. Now,
I dived into tryouts and whatnot right away, a few months in.
Mm-hmm. And if I'm not mistaken, you're fighting in the 155 weight class. Did you always Correct. Think you were going to be in that weight class, or was that something that you were guided
no,
into?
Yeah, I didn't think I would always be in that weight class. I kind of carried myself, you know, with a little bit more weight. And once I started to train intensely and trying to find what was my natural weight, when I'm in shape and eating right and hydrated and recovering, sleeping well, you know, what is my natural state? And I believe that every time I stepped on a scale consistently, you know, over months and months, that 155 was the magic number.
There we go. You said hydration. That reminded me to take a glass of water. And if you're listening, go ahead and get yourself a glass of water. Pause, get yourself a glass of water. We'll be right here when you're on pause. Listen to the Head Knocker on PSP Media, Pro Sports Podcasters. I know it's still early days for you in the BKFC arena, but has the perception changed from when you were watching it to becoming a fighter?
Definitely.
Tell us about Definitely. That.
So, you know, everyone has their own impressions when you're on the couch and you're watching something, and you know, I'm sure a lot of guys who have been get a lot of street fights, have their own opinion about, you know, professional combat sports. Address and the variables that people find success with in the streets don't necessarily translate, you know, in the sense that, for example, people, you know, I'll just pose this question out to people. If they had so many fights in the streets, how many of those fighters were professional fighters? You know, like, that's a distinct difference. When you go into the ring, you're fighting, you know, that square circle, you are fighting professional fighters, people who have studied, and, you know, it's a different dynamic. And I feel, you know, a lot of people might, in a street fight, they might rely on aggression and speed, and, you know, there's a lot of things that they're not going to account for. People don't account for weight classes. You know, this is, there's so many variables. But I can say definitely since I started training, you know, I have a definite respect for, you know, all combat sports, boxers, bare knuckle fighters, anybody that steps in the ring.
Yeah, I hear that, and I would tend to agree with a lot of that, because when you enter that ring, you are essentially putting your life on the line. It doesn't happen often, but it does happen where sometimes competitors go into the ring and that they don't come out alive. But it is a fight to the, I know it's a cliche, but folks are going so hard that it can sometimes be a fight to the death. I guess stepping away from that a little bit, you touched on street fights. Now, a street fight is kind of a heat of the moment type of situation, whereas a competitive fight, there's a ring, there's weigh-in, it's a lot more structured. Tell us about the what's going through your mind before the fight, because as I said, the street fight, you're kind of thinking on your feet, it's very random, very unplanned, whereas the fight is a lot more structured. Tell us about what's going through your mind in that process before a pro fight.
What's going through my mind, I would say, is I want to establish my presence. I want to minimize my damage. I want to be first. You know, I would say those are the things that will be predominantly on my mind.
That's fair. And I guess this one might be a little bit harder to answer, but I've always wanted this, particularly when watching combat sports. When you're in a position you didn't plan for, a situation you didn't plan for, let's say you're up against it, have you ever thought of wanting to not tap out, but give up in a way, or to almost concede? Ever crossed your mind, or you just feel like you got to find a way? And what's that like? I know it's pressure.
I think that conflict that comes into people's minds, whether it comes in before they get into the ring, when they get into the ring, you know, or whether when they're reflecting on their performance after it's over, I think that's something that many people, if not everyone, has to contend with. But me personally, any intrusive thoughts, anything that would be a distraction, if you want to call it that, has already been eliminated prior to me stepping into that ring. So when I'm in the ring, you're going to get my very best. You're going to get my focus and my clarity, you know. Any negotiating or any, you know, I wouldn't even say negotiating, but any conversation with myself is already been established prior to stepping into that ring.
Okay, so preparation is key.
Definitely. it's not a place to be thinking about those type of things.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. That's not the best time to be second guessing yourself. Absolutely. Now, I gotta ask you. I get the you're still entering the BKFC waters. It's, you're going deeper as things go along. How do you feel about the way the BKFC is viewed publicly? Like, do you think it's getting the right attention? And do you also think that the perception is correct? Do you think it maybe is misconceived by some people?
Everyone's going to have their own opinion. I can't speak for them, but I love it. I think it's great. I'm enjoying it in all of its shapes and forms. You know, I look at different promotions. You know, I study everything. So I study the different rounds. I study the different, you know, the differences in fighters across the seas, you know, on this side and that side. I have different people I like, you know, so I think it's a good thing, and I think it's spreading across the world, and people are finding a good outlet for their talent and their skill set, and it's therapeutic, and it's, like I said, on that journey you're going to meet so many people, coaches, other fighters who have dreams just like you, people who come from backgrounds similar to you, people who come from dissimilar backgrounds, people who have things to teach you, people who have things they want to learn from you. It's just an amazing journey, you know. It's about fighting, very much so, but it's not just about fighting.
Yeah, that's actually interesting that you mentioned that, because we recently had a coach on, a coach of judo, and he mentioned something to a similar effect, that judo is a way of life, and it's similar to what you're saying, that it's not necessarily about the combat or the competition, it's about what you learn and that journey that you go along in that aspect. So that's powerful. Speaking of journeys, if I'm not mistaken, you're from New Mexico, right?
No, not originally.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, I'm originally from the Bay Area, but I've been out in Fight Town, USA, New Mexico for a while.
There we go. Shout out to New Mexico.
Shout out to New Mexico.
Where Pascal Siakam did his schooling and his balling before he became a pro. Now, quickly before we get back into the fighting, being from the Bay Area, does that make you a 49ers fan?
Definitely not. I'm definitely a Raider.
Okay, all right. No worries. We can keep talking. That's okay. We can still do this.
Yeah. But I'm gonna be honest though. Like, I'm not really a big sports person. Like, I love my hometown teams because those are like my hometown teams. But currently, there's not any teams in the town. So, you know, I'm not really a big sports person. I like fighting, and you know, that's where my focus is at.
Yeah, I hear that. And just on that point, your fighting style, from I guess when you first started to now, how has that evolved, would you say?
That's interesting. You know, I could try to sit here and put a spin on it. But I think the most transparent thing for me to do would be to say that I'm still developing. You know, I'm searching for that sequence that puts everything together that I've ever learned, you know, and I don't got to think about it. And right now I feel that what I'm doing is refining that with this last step in pugilism, so I can express all of my martial arts under the rules of BKFC, you know, and bare knuckle.
Yeah, okay, so you're kind of applying a little bit of Aikido and Wing Chun to the striking to make an overall, I guess, head knocker experience, if you will. I guess that's the way of the head knocker, for lack of a better term.
Definitely. Everything brought me something. You know, at a young age, Aikido allowed me to understand what it is to gain proficiency through repetition, you know, persevering through the adversity, and I fought a lot, you know, as a young man. You know, I was in the juvenile system at a young age, at a very young age. So I would say that's what Aikido gave me. And Wing Chun gave me just a love for Kung Fu and the ability to see pattern and see, you know, what it takes to be great at any level, not just with Wing Chun, you know. But I also started to develop my hand conditioning, shout out, you know what I'm saying, Wing Chun. So when I step into the ring, I feel that that's what I'm specifically bringing, not street fighting, not MMA, not boxing, in the sense that my hands have been conditioned through years of Kung Fu. Now, what I'm working on currently, I switched to a boxing gym because I felt that I needed to hit the reset button and gather myself with the fundamentals. So I started a full-time training over at Duke City Underdogs Boxing Gym. Shout out. And that's where I'm at right now, just working on the basics, the fundamentals. I'm not in a rush, and I'm giving myself time to develop the way I want to develop.
Yeah, no, I respect that, because a good painting or a nice meal, it often takes time to put it together. You don't want to rush it, because things get missed, things get messed up. You don't want to hurt yourself, obviously. But in saying that, are there any fights coming up on the horizon for you?
Not yet. I had an amateur USA boxing bout, and when I switched to my current gym, like I said, I hit the reset button. I wanted to give myself an opportunity to get started under some new coaching. So I don't have any bouts on the horizon currently, but I'll definitely have something in the works when the time is right. But my main focus right now, I would say, is to get as many amateur fights as I can. Because once I go pro, I won't have that opportunity anymore. And that's where I'm going to garner, you know, just a myriad of experience that I think will be greatly beneficial to me.
For sure. And, that experience is going to be invaluable. And I guess it's the amateur realm is a place where you can try things, I guess. You can also, not that you're planning to, but if you make mistakes, it's probably better to do it as an amateur than as a pro. Because once you go pro, the opportunities might be limited.
Definitely. Yeah, so my main thing is I want to get that experience, and I just feel like if I rush myself, I won't be able to go back and get that experience. At that point, all I'll be able to do is line up pro fights and spar, and no more amateur fights. So I'm just not in a rush. You know, that's kind of where I'm at right now.
There we go. I feel like that's your Aikido side kicking in. let things happen.
You have to have harmony on the journey, definitely. You got to have harmony to the journey.
Yes, sir. I spent a little bit of time in Japan, so yeah. Again, I didn't do Aikido myself, but I'm aware of the cultural and the spiritual significance of the philosophy, so definitely get where you're coming from there.
Definitely made me appreciate discipline and work. I can say that. I'm not one of those guys that you got to push to do stuff. You know, I'm one of the people that you have to kind of monitor, make sure I'm not overtraining, and, you know. So it definitely gave me that discipline at a young age.
Hey, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's a saying that I saw once upon a time, and it is true to an extent. I mean, luck also helps, but hard work is undefeated. Hard work is undefeated.
Definitely. It's beautiful to have both, but I've learned that, you know, you shouldn't rely on talent. It can betray you and leave you. Skill through repetition is the way.
Yeah, like you said, talent can leave you, but no one can take hard work away from you.
Definitely.
That's one of the few things that cannot be taken away from you.
And it seems right now everybody that's having success is demonstrating that through their boxing ability. You know, people in bare knuckle right now who are showing, you know, that they are making their mark, that they're doing so coming through the chain of boxing.
No doubt about it. Now, in saying that, you clearly have a plan for where you want to be. If you don't mind, what does that look like to you when I guess you call yourself successful in the BKFC arena? What does that look like to you?
So, my plan is this year, I want to get amateur fights. 2025, I'll focus on my pro aspect of my career. And as long as I can stay healthy and I can stay hidden and stay looking pretty, then I'm going to continue. I can't say, you know, when I'll feel fulfilled. But I'm not in it for belts. I'm not in it for money. You know, I don't know who does this kind of activities for those purposes, but for me, there's a version of me that I believe, and the only way I can see that version is if I manifest it. And I believe that I have a lot to offer. There are a lot of people who believe in me.
I hear that. And would you say that
every day, and I put in that version?
Right. So, just quickly before we get you out of here, I guess, would you say that one of the motivators is, as you're trying to create that version of yourself, that you essentially can't give up because you have that group of people around you believing in you and what they potentially see in you?
No, I wouldn't say that. I would say my drive comes from within, but the people around me, they reflect that with their, you know, with their commitment to express, you know, their belief in me. You know, they reflect, you know, but my path is, you know, is very solitary. You know, the people who champion me are very close to me. They're trainers, they're coaches, they're, you know, their family. But that's all I do is work and put in that work. Like, I literally just had to pull a double, race to the door, like, wash my hands, try to set up the tripod, jump on with you. I was supposed to be at a boxing class at 5:30, like 5:30 to 9. So, like, you know, every minute, every second that I have right now, when I say I'm not in a rush, I just mean I'm not rushing the process, but I'm definitely 24/7, only leaving enough hours to get recovery in the day, basically. You know, I'm chasing a dream.
Yes, sir. Yes, you are. Now, just quickly, you touched on something that's piqued my brain here. You said, and obviously you got people around you, but you did say that I guess it's a solitary operation. Does that get hard sometimes? How do you deal with that aspect?
That's how I thrive. You know, I thrive under that Miyamoto Musashi, you know, the path of the loner. I really thrive under that. You know, for a large period of my life, I've been around people. And, you know, I had the opportunity to learn a lot of things and experience a lot of things. But once I started to train, I started to really enjoy the lack of all those comforts of people. And when you isolate yourself and you're getting up early and you're running 5Ks and 10Ks, and you're going to the gym and, you know, you put in all these, this work, you go through a process which it molds you in a different way, you know. And, you know, I have the people I need around me, and nothing else is, you know, I don't feel lacking in any way.
Straight up, man. That's great to hear. Loving hearing that. And I'm going to be looking forward to your progress.
I appreciate that.
And into the next year as you journey to pro. Now, where can our listeners find you on social media?
So you can find me on the THEE Head Knocker on Instagram. The Head Knocker, and that's my primary platform. I try to keep up with my stories and whatnot, but yeah, that's my primary platform.
Fantastic! So there we have it. Head Knocker by name, Head Knocker by nature. I'm Newell Spruce, and this has been another episode of the Pro Sports Podcasters.
And that's the game. We've reached full time on this episode of Pro Source Podcasters. Your enthusiasm and support drive us forward, and for that, we're really grateful.
If you've enjoyed today's journey through the thrilling world of sports, please consider leaving us a review. Your feedback not only helps improve us, but also connects us to the community.
So don't forget to visit our website at prosportspodcasters.com
for exclusive content, episodes, and the latest updates in the realm of professional sports, where no sport is left behind.